quick summary. Last week, we kind of gave an introduction to the three brachas, or two brachas, of Birchat HaTorah. And we wanted to just kind of immerse ourselves in the words themselves. We came up
with, last week was a big one.
2 weeks ago, I apologize. Forget it.
I'm here. I'm trying to think. No. I can't remember this.
No, Avinu Malkeinu. I'm talking about the Kotel. When we were at the Kotel, we were learning about Birchat HaTorah. Yeah. So this is part two. We were taking a break from Birchat HaTorah. And we immersed ourselves in the words. Okay, we'll share just a few insights that we came up with. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kiddishanu. First, we talked about how Kiddishanu is to make us holy. And the way we defined it is to be separate and towards God. The same way that when you're doing Kiddushin, you're being Mekadosh a girl, you're separating her from the whole universe, all the other men in the world are monkeys, and towards the husband. So that's, every time we do a mitzvah, we're separating ourselves away into God, and like an animal is Kadosh, you know, he's set aside in the Beit HaMikdash. So that was Kiddishanu. Every mitzvah we do does that. And then we talked about this interesting language of Lasuk Sidrei Torah. And we said that it's to immerse ourselves in the Torah. It's not just to learn Torah, but really whatever Torah we're learning, we're immersing ourselves in the Torah. Derech Agad, that relates to the Gemara and Brachos, which is a source for Birchat HaTorah, where there's a machlokes. What exactly requires a bracha beforehand? If it's Mishnah, if it's Gemara, if it's only Chumash, it was unclear at the time. And maybe that relates back to this thing. It has to be something you can immerse yourself in. And the conclusion is you can immerse yourself in anything. Right, but maybe that was maybe the Havamim was not only Gemara is really immersion. And again, the mitzvah is to immerse ourselves. People forget that. And then we joked about how Sfaradim don't have this Lasuk B'Divrei Torah. It's just the Al Divrei Torah. We had our interesting suggestions. And maybe Sfaradim, they don't have to immerse themselves. They're just already connected. And they just have to say their Tehillim and learn Torah, and it's they're already there.
Or at least to touch on your point. Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't want to
worry yourself with soap in order
to be
yotzi the bracha,
maybe just discussion
of Torah in general,
as opposed to immersion. Because you said Gemara is the only real immersion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was to avoid that.
Right. And Sfaradim are very, they don't, it's not only about Gemara and Rishonim and Acharonim, it's about halacha. At the end of the day, when you go to any Sfaradim show, they're always talking like practical. So that was our theory. Who knows exactly why Sfaradim. And yeah, talked a lot about that, this Indian of immersing ourselves. And that's how you merit the sweetness of Torah. I don't remember what else we touched on. It'll come back to us. Okay. And that like the first thing you should do before you do business or anything else, right away you should start your day off with learning Torah. The Mishnah Berurah says right away, from davening to tefillah to learning right away, nothing else. That should be your main esek in the day. Nothing should get in between that. Okay. Oh, in this Divrei Torah, I think we may have touched upon this, machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. Shulchan Aruch writes, and that's how we pass, you need to verbalize Torah. Whereas the Vilna Gaon said, no, v'yigita mo'im amalala, you can just think about Torah.
And so, yeah, we didn't talk about that. That's fascinating.
We didn't talk about that.
That's fascinating.
We did not talk. This is a new, something that I've been researching. So, it'd be interesting how the Vilna Gaon would deal with that, because for him, it's good enough to think Torah. Perhaps
really?
It's...
So you could just like sit, I'm just turning the top. You could just sit with a Gemara and sort of run through it in your head.
Yeah.
Be good enough.
So the Vilna Gaon says, he totally is cholek on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, what do you mean? He keep that by your mamalayla, immersing yourself. Yeah, I'm sure he would say there's a maila in speaking it out. But for him, you're thinking Torah. That's the mitzvah of learning Torah. It's all about your brain.
But for people on his level, they can memorize a whole chumash.
Yeah, he felt that even just thinking of Torah. Look, I think we would all agree that even just thinking of Torah is something. You can't think Torah not in the bathroom. So certainly there's madriga of just thinking Torah. But this language of bedivrei Torah perhaps lends itself to the Shulchan Aruch Pshat of having to verbalize.
You know, there says that you can't think Torah. Not only can you think Torah in a bathroom, you can listen to a shiur.
Interesting.
That's
yeah, but
you
right.
Can't listen to
Chan. Chan is interesting.
He said, I mean, this is what he said years
really?
Ago. He changed his mind.
Who said this?
Rabbi Avinu, Shlomo Avinu.
I might suggest, perhaps he means, like, if you're in a bathroom area, not necessarily if you're actually in the bathroom.
I want to ask Roof W, can you with me? But I think he even said when, like, you're in a shower.
In a shower?
When you're taking a shower.
Tov, you're holding in a shower, but not when you're in the process of going to the bathroom.
I don't know. You think it's different?
For sure it's different.
You don't think it's like the nakedness? You're saying it's just like... In the
some showers now smell amazingly, and, like, it's great. Like, but
oh, it's strictly the smell. That's what you
it's the environment. But, like, when you're in the bathroom process, I don't think that would happen. But anyway, it's a good halachic shalom. Get back to us. Text Reviving him. We can text him out. Let him, you know, see what he says. Gevalt. Okay. So, then we talked about Varevna. We noted the strangeness of the Lushan. We never ask for a sweet shofar, a sweet, you know, sukkah. But we have this weird sweetness required when it comes to learning Torah. And we hypothesized... Based on the, I mean, we just hypothesized, but it happens to be that the Eglei Tal, the Sakha Chav Rebbe writes that Torah is only Torah if it's sweet. If it's not sweet, you're not doing it right. The essence of Torah has to be sweet, or else it's not really learning Torah, and therefore we need to pray that it be sweet. And we also gave a Hasidic drush, it's a Russian of Arivus. Of responsibility for each other. Our Torah should be the type of Torah that, like, you know, helps us love each other and learning English for other people. So we should dedicate our Torah learning for all of Am Yisrael.
I once heard that we say we want it to be sweet and our mouths because everyone has different taste buds. Uh-huh. So we're asking for, like, our own, to find our own
favorite. Archelic.
Archelic would be sweet.
Yes, beautiful. Very, very shalom. Nice.
Maybe also to touch upon the same root as Orev. On the chiyuv of, like, what you have to learn, it's not just strictly, you know, mikra. It's mikra.
So we'll talk about that today. So we're going to get back to that exactly, that exact point. That relates, yafeh, because we're going to talk about the yivrech and the eludrim. Awesome. Okay. It needs to be sweet. It needs to be delicious. How do we make it sweet? What if I just don't like it? Right, what do I do? So if Chaim Yivlajan had a beautiful suggestion. Because you want to guarantee that your Torah learning will be sweet that day, and that you'll have yours to Hashem. What do you got to do? Say Birchat Torah with Kavana. But in any case, if you say Birchat Torah, he guarantees that you're going to love Torah learning. So let's try it out. See if he's right or not. Any guys try it? Let's try it. Say it with your Torah learning sweet that day. Can you say it with Kavana? You don't remember.
I don't remember.
Okay, today, tomorrow you'll try. See what happens. So we talked about the sweetness of Torah, and you gotta find your own way. You can go your own way, find your own way. Divrei Torahcha, again, the wording of Torah. Then we had this strange thing. Finu fiyam chabei Yisrael, inachnu v'tateinu v'tateam chabei Yisrael. This children and our grandchildren, and everyone should be learning Torah. We don't find such an interesting language by any other mitzvah that we talk about our children and grandchildren. You know, shaking the lulav. Like, what is this? Why are we talking about our grandchildren? And we hypothesized that maybe it has to do with the fact that Torah needs to be for the generations. And I think we mentioned the Rambam, that real Torah is when you're learning to give over to your children, or to internalize it so that you can give it over to your children. That's the essence of Talmud Torah, teaching Torah. Right? You guys remember that? You remember this a little bit? If not, okay, good. And it's only gonna get passed down if it becomes part of who you are. Everyone knows your name and learns Torah Lishma. So what does it mean to know your name? How do we know Hashem's name? What is Hashem's name? Any of you remember this? What is Hashem's name?
What is Hashem's name?
How do we get to know Hashem's name? So the Pasuk in Dvarim says, Kishem Hashem Akara Havugo Del Elokeinu. When I call out in the name of God, I will ascribe greatness to Him. And that is the source, according to the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Aleph, for Birchat HaTorah. So it turns out, if it says the Ramban, that what's the name of God? Only out of the name of God, I have to say Birchat HaTorah. The name of God is Torah. The Torah has the letters of God, and the way to get close to God's name is the Torah, which we give all sorts of hypotheses that the way to get, when you call someone's name, that's a way of getting close to them. You feel a connection. Right? So the way we get close to Hashem is by learning His Torah. And that's how we immerse ourselves. We talked about Rav Pinkus in his Sefer, how he says that, like, a person's eating candy apple all day is not going to get the nutrients he needs from getting an apple. So similarly, you could be doing mitzvahs all day, but the neshama of a yid needs Torah. Needs immersion in Torah in order to really feel whole and healthy. That's the way we get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Torah. And then we talked about Lashma, how it needs to be not for honor, not for any alternative reason, and we theorize that maybe that's a way to make it sweet. When you're learning for all these alternative reasons, it won't be sweet. But when we're learning it just for Hashem, just for ourselves, our connection with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it'll be sweet. And then we closed HaMelamed Torah L'ma Yisrael, that God is the one who is teaching. He's right now in the room, flowing through all of us, teaching all of us, and Mamash helping us get to the right halacha, and all of these chidushim that are coming down are all Hashem's Mamash teaching through us. Okay? Rings a bell a little bit? Okay, I wanted to offer one more insight, and then we'll again delve into the sitter for this week. Okay, I heard this in a shir by Rav Gottlieb, but I've heard it all over the place. It's very famous chiluk. I think it's very beautiful. So we asked the question, why are there three different brachas, or two brachas, for one mitzvah called learning Torah? And we also could ask another question, which is, what is the function of Birchat HaTorah? What kind of bracha is this? You know that there are different types of brachas Chazal enacted. So what type of bracha is Birchat HaTorah? Let's go through the options. One type of bracha which Chazal enacted is what? Let's go through. What are the different brachas that we say? Let's go through. What type of brachas do we do?
Just before the shopper thing?
No, in general. What are the different brachas?
For eating.
For eating. What would be the category that for eating falls under? Nehenim. Okay, good. That's one category.
Under what?
Nehenim. Something you get pleasure out of. Before you eat an apple, you have to you have to say a blessing, because you can't enjoy in a physical way the world without thanking God. Okay? So, let's start with that. So, some theorize, I've heard this, you know, Usher Weiss, I've heard this, maybe Rav Salvechik, I've heard the name of a lot of different rabbis, that Birchat HaTorah is a Birchat HaNehenin. And that might be why even women are obligated, even though technically they're not obligated in Talmud Torah. But I'm enjoying Talmud Torah. Anyone who's learning Torah in the right way, it's almost like a physical geschmack. It's an amazing feeling. And therefore, before we immerse ourselves in the Torah, we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that delicious geschmack Torah that we're about to inhale. Okay? I think Adler right said that. Okay, so that's one theory. Yafeh. What else? What other brachas do we have? Oh, and fine. No, I'll say that for the end. What's another option? Asher Yetzar is another bracha. What bracha is Asher Yetzar? It's also machlokas. But let's say Asher Yetzar in the morning, or Pokeach Ivrim, or Elokai Neshama. It's a different category of bracha.
Thanks.
Birchat HaHodah. General thanks. Not about a specific thing. That's why I say Asher Yetzar is complicated. But about, in general, I have eyes. I woke up in the morning. I can stand. So Chazal enacted a bunch of brachas, most of them in Shacharis, called the thankful bracha. And that would probably be the simplest pshat, that we need to be thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Torah, and therefore we have a Birchat HaHodah in Birchat HaShachar. If you're medayik in the Rambam places Birchat HaTorah in Hilchos Davening, Hilchos Tefillah, and not Hilchos Torah. So you could say it's a special din in Tefillah of thankfulness, of general thankfulness. One nice way of looking at it is, imagine I just, you know, put you in a field and said, okay guys, and threw a bunch of balls there and said, play. Everyone would be like, what? Like, how do we play? What are the rules? We don't know how to play. Like, you know? We'd be lost. So, Baruch Hashem, imagine we just placed into the world and we didn't have rules. We didn't know what to do. Imagine a world without Torah. You know? Give up. So that would not be fun. So we need a general thankfulness up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah. Okay? So that's the second perspective.
It could be thanks. It could be a because of that.
It could be because of that. That's another theory that some rabbis throw on. And a third option is, what other, it might even be the most simple option. Sorry? I don't know. Yes, you could just say it's a request. It's its own category. I mean, that would be, you know, it's like Tefillah Tederach type of thing. You could say that. But there's no way, one other way of calling it a Birchat HaMitzvah. Like before we do Lulav, before we do Matz, before we do Shofar, we always, Chazal decreed that we meditate upon what we're doing before we do it, and we say, okay, I'm about to do this mitzvah. So to focus me. So it could be before we learn Torah, we have to have this focus of that we're not just learning Stan, that we're not learning psychology books, we're not learning math, we're learning Torah, and therefore we need this birchas mitzvah. And the lashon of Shir Kedushan Tavdanu supports that language, that it's a birchas mitzvah. So the Levush, suggests that you could break down the three brachas of Birchas HaTorah into these three different categories. Let's look at it inside. So we have the first bracha, Asher Kedushan V'Totav Tzvanu L'Sok B'Divrei Torah, which is Asher Kedushan V'Totav Tzvanu, the lashon of Birchas HaMitzvah. The mitzvah is to immerse ourselves in the Torah, and we're reminding ourselves first and foremost of that. Then we have this V'Harevna, make it delicious, make it sweet, make it yummy. What would that be? What type of bracha would that lend itself to? Well, you could say it's a bakasha, which is like Mark said. That would make a lot of sense also. It's just simply a request. But what else might it be? If it's about the sweetness. Nanin, right? Nanin. Enjoyment, exactly. And then we have Asher Bachar Banu, which is Hoda, a general thankfulness of having a Torah. So it could be the three different brachas all have these different elements in it. Yafe, I just thought that was a beautiful breakdown, different kavanot we could have. And I'll offer one final piece. The Chafetz Chaim, perhaps you could put this in the first category, but the Chafetz Chaim said it's like when you, before you write a Sefer Torah, a sofer has to think L'Shem Hashem. He has to put his ink in the quill and say, you know, focus himself. Right? What am I doing here? So similarly, before I learn Torah, during my day, I need to stop and just kind of focus myself, orient myself, what am I doing? And that's to me a beautiful meditation. You're not liking it?
No, I just like get up in the morning and I'm such a rush to get out. It's like, you know, say big as a Torah.
Nechon, we all, it's hard because you want to learn Torah so badly, so you just get it, you know? But like, we have to remember, Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah in itself. It's not just a way to get to Torah learning. It itself is, in Gemara and Yuma says, I believe that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because we didn't say Birchas HaTorah. So it's a big Indian in of itself. Obviously because it gears us towards beauty of Torah, but it itself is an Indian. It's not just, you know, to prepare us.
When's the best time to say Birchas HaTorah?
I'm just gonna ask
them. As soon as you can, but at the same time do it in a way that you're really, really kavanadik. So
the shul.
So good. So when you're davening in shul.
Before you're tefillin.
To be honest, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're gonna be like saying all those L'Shem Yuchuds, before you do tefillin, and then you're saying psukim, so then you want to say Birchas Torah before that, you could say it after you do tefillin, or before. Different sitters put it in different places. I don't think it really matters.
But you put like kind of on the tools for diet, mashayatza, and erokai.
Right.
That's pretty much what you do as a home.
Ideally. I mean, I do it until it's a diet right before shul. I wash my hands, and then I do a wash my hands again. But we'll do that until it's a diet shul. We'll get there.
Right.
But in any case, Birchas HaTorah, I have a long journey before I go to... I run to work.
It could be that you go to the bathroom, right? And then by the time you have your long journey, you need the bathroom again. So where do you put your Ashiyatza?
That's a good check. So I usually do Ashiyatza before.
Kind of tour needs a brothel before it. So if you're doing, yeah...
It's confusing. When I'm jogging, I have a lot of time. So, say it with kavanah, but when I'm biking, I'm more stressed. Whatever. Everyone's got to find their own groove in terms of that. I would say it's personal. Tov. All right. That is all. Just by way of introduction, we can go on and on, but I want to let's immerse ourselves in the actual text. And I don't think we analyzed Asher Bachar Banu, so let's go through that quickly, and then we'll.